Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. I just tweeted out a picture of the new Sabres jersey. Don't worry, it's the same as the old one to most people out there. But they're changing their jersey manufacturer, Joe, from Adidas to Fanatics.
That's
which
right.
Is, you know, has people are like, oh, you know, whatever. I don't personally like it because I do like to collect jerseys. I like to make them well. But they're making a big point of this, Joe, that, you know, don't worry, these jerseys will be made in the same factory where the jerseys have been made for decades. You know, the last 50 years, they've been made in the same one factory in Canada, outfits all the players. You know, so all the players' jerseys are made here in Canada.
Well, that's good to know.
Am I the only... I don't care if you put the players in Kleenex.
Yeah, no.
Like, why? I'm not a player. I just need what's on the shelf at the store to be quality.
I would like a something that I'm paying hundreds of dollars for to be good quality, yes.
No offense to the players. I don't care what you wear.
No.
I don't care if it tears apart.
No. And I
actually, it will look cool.
I expect that you will have a quality. I would just like a quality product.
I want the quality jersey.
Yeah. I want the Sabre store to be full of quality products.
Yeah, that was my only thing. I got a bone to pick here. And this is, I'm framing this, Joe, as not a complaint, but a public service announcement for area businesses. This is how I want to frame it in my mind.
Okay.
Because this could easily be seen as a Brian, you're a complainer type thing. I look at it more as I need to voice the opinion of a lot of people. I think a lot of people who are in my boat to area businesses so that they know the full picture. So yesterday, it happened to me, happened to Susan, happened to you, or just about everybody here. Or maybe it was 2 days ago.
It was two days ago.
Walk out to the car, and what do I, you know, I walk out to the car, and sticking in the door of the car is a flyer for a local business, you know, a restaurant. Here, come get the lunch special or whatever. I've never seen in the door before. Usually it's underneath the windshield wiper,
yes, because we had gotten a flyer a few weeks ago here under the windshield wiper.
I don't know which I like better. I think I actually might like in the door better. Well, I don't like any of them. This is the whole point of it. But this is just the public service announcement to businesses. If I go out to my car, here at work or you know, wherever.
At home.
And at home, I mean, it's happened. You know, it'll happen to you at home. It happens at, you know, the grocery store. It happens all over the place. If I walk back to my car and I see a flyer for your business, I am never going to your business.
Yeah, I think it's a little extreme. I'm actually thinking of going to the business that had the flyer in the
door. I know it's extreme,
but
I know that there's people there like me. 803-0930, by the way, if you want to weigh in today on anything we're talking about. If I get a flyer for, maybe it's a political candidate.
That's a bit much.
I'm not voting for you.
You would not have voted for me for a student government. I stuck one in everyone's car door.
You would never get my
vote. Won 80% of the vote.
If you're giving me trash to throw out, I don't know.
But you didn't throw it out. It's on your desk.
Well, I saved it to remember to bring this up on the air. Or else I would have forgotten.
Mine's under my visor, and I plan on taking advantage of their very cheap lunch that they were advertising on the flyer.
If you're papering my car with stuff, and now whether that's because just I don't like taking it out, and then you know now I got extra garbage in my already dirty car, or because I think for a quick second that I got a parking ticket, even though I'm in a parking lot.
You think Unilands out here handing out tickets?
Yes. It's what goes through your head. I see your flyer on my car. It's just, I'm never going here.
Yeah. I think it's probably 50-50, but obviously it works, or they wouldn't do it.
But I don't know. I think a lot of places just think of it as, oh, this is what some people do. Really, I don't think that's a big, like, you have a marketing person who you hire.
So, well, no.
Well, our research shows that, you know, if you litter everyone's car with a printout, then we'll get, you know, an uptick in business by so-and-so. I think it's more just somebody says, I don't know, print out a bunch of flyers and stick them in people's windshields.
Yeah, we have this deal. We're not going to pay for advertising, which, you know, I'm against that. Pay for the advertising. We're going to go put it in everyone. I always applaud a business trying. And that's what I will always applaud the effort. And that takes a lot of effort. This is a big parking lot. And having to walk through all, how many buildings are here? three, four buildings and put those. I applaud whoever did it. And it didn't bother me. Like I said, it's saved, and I plan on taking advantage of it one day this week.
You can applaud the efforts, but make an effort like a business should. Dress up in a banana suit and go on the side of the road waving a sign.
Yeah, I mean, I did that for years.
Don't put stuff on my car. I frame it as a public service announcement, right, because I feel like a lot of people might be thinking of this and not thinking of people like me, who it's actually a deterrent to instead of an advertisement.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of goofy ads on TV that are a deterrent to some people. Like, oh, that ad was so stupid, I'll never go. But it works for enough people. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a bone to pick.
Let's go.
With a company. I'm not going to say the company on the air, but proof of residency is the stupidest thing. Okay? I mean...
What? Depending on...
Okay, so
you need to go a little bit more
in depth. I bought a car 2 months ago and used proof of residency to purchase the car, right? Obviously, I needed two proof of residency to get the loan that would allow me to buy the car, okay? Got the insurance that day. Insurance was fine. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I've now paid two pay periods with this insurance, right, on this car. And now they're coming after me on proof of residency. Now, I submitted bank statements, pay stub, cable bill, okay? They only accepted one of those three. The cable bill. Not the bank statement from the bank I've been with.
Yeah.
I did switch banks. But a bank I've been with for 3 or 4 years, my paycheck from this very fine institution gets sent to this bank. They didn't accept that. No. Pay stub. They didn't accept that. And I said, why? Oh, well, you know, you could change. You could...
I was going to ask how you got a pay stub.
I printed it out.
Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't print it out. I actually just saved the PDF and sent it to them. So now we find a utility bill from last month, right? They said, no, it has to be within the last 30 days. So they're going to suspend my coverage because they deem a bank statement from a my bank is the same bank that's on the name of the field where the Mets play, just so you know, okay? It's a reputable bank. They won't accept that.
Yeah. You can, I've had a wrong address on one of my bank accounts for over a decade before.
Okay, but I've sent them three things. Like all three?
I know.
All three is the wrong number?
I think your bone is less with the proof of residency and proof of residency for what you're doing it for. Right?
Yes.
Like if you needed it for the car and the car loan, that just kind of should be good enough for the insurance.
Like, yes.
Should the insurance, does it really need, I mean, rates differ depending on where you live, so that's probably why they're.
But shouldn't where the car's registered?
Over it? Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that's your thing. The proof of residency, though, I'd like, you know, like when I'm signing my kid up for the pre-K that we didn't get into.
Yeah.
You need to prove if you wanted to go to school in the district live in the district. And you need stuff that's not, you know, like I said, the bank statement, I could give you a bank statement from when I used to live in a different town or...
From when? Oh, but it's still... Your bank is still...
Yeah.
Thinks you live there?
Yeah. Even work. You know, on the pay stub example, I've been getting stuff sent to the wrong address from work. I had that for like 3 years after I moved.
Wow.
I thought I changed the... Apparently, I didn't. And then I had to go and do it again.
But that was good enough for the loan office.
What loan office? Oh, your loan office.
For the loan for the car.
Well, different standards for different things. I think your bone to pick is not with a proof of residency, because you need that for some things. I think it's with who needs it.
Yeah, the company.
Yeah.
And again, the car is registered to my address. The loan is at my address. None of these things are being taken as a proof of residency, and now they're threatening to suspend my coverage. So there you go. They'll lose a customer because I will go back. I had the same insurance for years. I loved it. I found a cheaper rate when I got this car. So I went with this this company. I'll just go back to my old one. It's fine. It is what it is. I think it's insane. And you know, they called me this morning, you know, saying, you know, to explain the letter. And I told them, I said, I think this is insane. I have been sending you nothing but documents. Mm-hmm. You think I'm forging all these documents? I go, I know it's not your problem, so I'm not going to get mad at you, but your company sucks.
I like this, though. When do you get mad on the phone? Everyone goes in with that attitude, right? Like, you always try and have that attitude. Like, listen, I know this is not, you know, you just work here. It's right. It's the good. It's the right attitude to have. When do you start to get mad, though? This happens all the time. Cable company is like the number one. Like, hey, you start off with the first person. Hey, just, you know, Colin, you know, you have no idea who I am. It's not like you're writing my bill, but, you know, what the heck? It's gone up 500% in the last 6 months. Oh, just wanted to know what's going on, what my options are here. And yeah, okay, we'll check that out for you. And then, you know, and then it's like hour number three on the phone. Oof. And you're on like the third person.
Yep.
And then it starts to be like, you know, okay, I know it's not your fault, but, you know, you start to do something like that.
Well, when they're saying, hey, if we don't have these documents the next week, we're going to cancel your service. That's when I started getting a little angry. Like, okay, now you're giving me a week to find someone new. I just paid a bill 2 days ago.
Yeah, they'll take the payments from you.
Take the payments. They're not going to refund me the payment.
But, like, when do you start to get, when you talk to those people, when do you start to get angry? Do you always keep your cool throughout the whole thing?
No, and yeah, this morning I may have very quickly, because I was up against the clock. I was working, and they're just like saying, well, that doesn't work. You'll have to find something else. Well, how about you find something else? Where's your proof of residency? it's really upsetting. And, you know, today's a great day for me, Brian. I'm going to throw the first pitch. I'm excited. And now I got this over my head.
Well, are you? They need to know where you live.
They accepted the bank statement. Here's another thing that upsets me. When I asked what counts as a proof of residency when they first contacted me, bank statement was on the list.
Hmm. And yeah, it usually would be, I think.
Yeah. And now again, reputable bank, home of the New York Mets. They didn't accept it. By the way, statement was up to the day before I sent it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, transactions from the day before, they don't accept it.
That's a good one. Someone said, what about your tax return? It's probably a...
If you filed it in the last 30 days.
Oh, they won't take... Well, no. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, you could have moved within a year.
Yep.
On the text board this morning, 803-0930, someone just said, ask to speak to a supervisor.
Yeah,
that's what you do. I mean, hey, all right, just... I end up with the first person. I start very cheery. And then it ends up being like, can we just... I'm going to have to be bumped along to the next guy. Can we just do that now?
Yeah.
In order to save some time here.
Could you just put me in communication with the person that can actually do something?
Yeah. I know I'm going to be waiting on hold. Can I start that now? As opposed to, because nothing's going to be figured out here.
No.
Get me the person who can actually lower the bill, and then we'll work on to something. And that's with everything. That's not even lowering bill. I remember canceling a cell phone service. This goes back to my, the cell phone company is the worst, whether you're in person, over the phone, whatever. I'd rather do anything than do that. But, like, those, all I want to do is, hey, I'm trying to pay you. Okay, I understand. I have a balance on, I remember buying these phones. You know, it starts on the contract and the payment plan.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, my deal's up. I don't want to continue. Just let me pay off the remainder of whatever's on this phone, and I want out. Oh, well, and that's a four-hour process on the phone.
It's awful.
For me to do what I'm allowed to do.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, all right, so we're two payments into this term with a new car. And, like, I'm making my payments on time. I've paid you. You don't want the money? Like, it hasn't been a problem collecting my money until yesterday.
Yeah. Here's the... On the phone, it's actually worse. The first person you talk to, I am less cheery about now, because the first person you talk to is not the first person you talk to anymore.
No.
The first person you talk
to is AI.
Is a robot.
Yeah.
And that just immediately... I'm ready to get on the phone and, hey, how's it going? No, but the first hello, you can immediately tell it's a robot. So the first thing I'm saying is, talk to a person.
Live person.
Talk to, and I'm already mad by the time I get to the person.
Yep.
Oh. It's like it sets you up for disaster.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Mazurowski.
Yeah.
I see you're calling about live person, please.
Yes.
So this could be something. I'm going to come back from vacation and possibly have to run to a new insurance company. It's upsetting. Like I said, I had all these documents for my car. The loan's there. The loan people send me a statement every month. Apparently, that's not enough.
803-0930 on our text board this morning. Somebody's saying, all right, let's go. Do I have white hair and drive a Corvette? Is that the type of person who doesn't like things on their car?
Yes. You touched my Corvette.
Definitely no to one of those. I'll let you guess which one it is. Someone else saying, you need a permit to do that and paper the car. I won't say that. I'm just going to, you can put whatever you want in my car. To me, that means I'm just not going there. I don't want it. I don't want your garbage. It's like when people hand out flyers at a parade or anywhere. Like, no, I don't. Right? It's the old Mitch Hedberg joke. It's like when somebody hands you a flyer. It's like, here, throw this. You throw this out. No, thank you. I don't want your garbage.
Somebody else saying,
I'm way too idealistic. You would really not vote for someone because they sent you a mailer? Listen, I'm not talking about mailers. I'm talking about papering the car. Putting stuff under the windshield where everyone gets mailers. But I will say to the question, if I am getting multiple mailers a day from you, yes, I have not voted for somebody because of that.
Okay, what if this place sent coupons in your mailbox?
Oh, and that's fine. In the mailbox is where you're supposed to send
but
me stuff.
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, my
no,
mail's
it's not.
Become
it's
all
not
junk.
The same thing. It's
it
not
is
the
same
thing,
though. You know how much of my mail I actually need? Apparently, I need something. I need a bill today, or I'm not going to have car insurance.
Please, no one's ever opened the mailbox before. Please be a bill.
A bill, please.
I need a bill. No, it's totally different. The mailbox, that's where you expect to have junk mail and stuff in the mailbox. Now, again,
keeps the mail in business.
If it's a little egregious, I do get to a point where it's like, just stop, please. But no, on the car, it's completely different. The mail is where the mail belongs. I didn't even think that needed to be said.
But junk mail is annoying. Remember Kramer, he canceled his mail because of all the junk mail. It can be annoying. It's still something you're just taking out of the mailbox and putting in the trash before it even makes the house.
Sure, but I'm there anyway. Like, does that make sense? Like,
I get what you're trying to say. Yeah,
I open the mailbox and then I walk into the kitchen. And I plop it all right down in the garbage. Like that's nothing different. Here, all right, take it. What am I putting this in a pocket? Like, I don't.
Well, that's what they're hoping.
It goes on the floor of the car, or in this case, in my work bag. It's trucked along here. Now I just got flyers everywhere.
Yeah, I personally, I'd be more upset about junk mail.
Hmm.
It keeps the mail going when really we could go down to 4 days a week of mail. We don't need 6 days.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Are you a mailman?
No, but.
You need your mail 6 days a week?
Yes.
Oh, it's annoying.
Who's peppering you?
Why do I need mail? I mean, all but one of my bills come in the mail. So, all but one of my mails are online. Oh my gosh. All but one of my bills
first
are
pitch
online.
Today.
Yeah. I don't think the necessity to have 6 day a week mail. Again, I don't care that my mailbox is even connected to my house. It doesn't bother me. I'm just saying. I think we could downsize mail.
All right. Well, you know what I could do without? Cell phones in schools.
Yes.
There might be even more movement on this. We'll get to that and much, much more. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazeroski, Jill Beamer back here on WBEN. Text coming in on the board over the break. I love this. Yes. Somebody texts in, I can't use plastic bags because it's bad for the environment, but people can just randomly paper flyers that go right in the trash and I throw out. Thank you, person who texted in. It's exactly right.
Well, as the state would say,
I got litter floating all around the parking lot over here the last couple of days because that's allowed, but can't get a bag. I was around the grocery or I was around the store yesterday carrying my son in one hand and just the other arm full of toiletries and everything else. like a caveman.
I miss the bags, man. I miss them.
Yeah, I do. I don't think I would miss this, though. It's gaining steam. I wonder what people think about this. It's already in L.A., and now New York, could it be next for a cell phone ban in schools? A lot of New York City leaders starting to get on board. There was just an op-ed by the former mayor, Bloomberg. He wrote it, Joe, in Bloomberg. You might be surprised to know.
They gave him some time?
They were able to give him a little bit of a space on the website for it.
Wow, interesting.
But in New York City, saying that they should be next. It should be, L.A., the second biggest school, announced a ban on cell phones in school. The New York City School District should be next for that. Hundreds of schools across the five boroughs have their own cell phone restrictions, made it a school level after public schools lifted a citywide ban on phones back in 2015, which I think is interesting. I didn't know that existed.
No.
Like, what caused that in the first place?
I'd like to know the background of it.
Like, why did they lift that? You had a phone ban in place. It goes to the point that we've made on the show before. Like, you've done it before. Like, to say, oh, it's impossible to ban phones now. Like, you can't really do it.
Parents.
You've done it. Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Many young people see it as a distraction. Sometimes even used as bullying and other things in school, according to the current mayor, Eric Adams. One of the biggest pushback, he said, believe it or not, is parents. They want to have accessibility to their kids throughout the day. We need to find a sweet spot. And again, I would say, as we did last time in the morning, we had a guest on, you know, the phone bans in schools and whatever, you know. If only there's a sweet spot, if only there's a way you could reach your kids in school when you needed to, but not have the distraction of a cell phone. It exists. It's on the wall of every classroom in America. It's called a phone.
Yep.
It's the close relative of the thing that we're talking about, the cell phone.
Yes.
Like, it's right there.
And, you know, we did just fine when our parents didn't have hourly contact with us while we were in school. Like, we're there to learn. And the cell phone that you need your child to have so badly to stay in touch is distracting your child from learning. It's distracting all of us from a lot of things. But most importantly, it's distracting school-age children from learning
at
school.
New York City, the ban could begin as early as January of 2025. They've been addressing the issue over the past couple of days, sharing few details of how the policy would work. They say that they'll have the kinks worked out in the next couple of weeks. Kathy Hochul, the governor, is considering a statewide ban. And I would applaud it if that were to happen. Right? I mean, that it would be the first statewide ban of anything in the last 4 years that I would say, way to go. And it is kind of amazing, of all the things that we've done on a state level over the last 4 or so years, I'm banned. The bags, you know, right? Yeah. Like all these
Twice.
Things that are, you know, the benefit is okay. I guess I can kind of see it. I haven't seen a bag in a tree, you know, in a while. That's nice. But this, I mean, clearly a distraction in school, you know, not to even go into, because that's the thing about this, banning phones in school. You don't even need to go into the although I don't think it's very controversial, but it is still being debated, the mental health impact or the impact that a cell phone has and social media has on the brain of somebody who's just growing up. You don't even need to dive into that. It's as simple as it's a distraction in school where you're there to learn. I mean, that's reason enough. It seems like it would be the simplest thing ever to do.
Yeah. Again, I'll go back to it was, you know, the TI-83 calculator when we were in school, and our math teacher had this cord. If you were doing anything but multiplying, they would hook it up and delete every game you installed on there to make sure it wasn't a distraction. Here's the thing. A lot of kids in school, I was one of them, look for a distraction while in school. When the distraction's easily accessible, they're gonna find it and they're gonna be distracted. Like I said, I would look for anything other than to actually do schoolwork.
Yeah,
playing hockey with the pens back and forth to the person sitting across the table from me. Anything. Like, you don't need to give them more distraction.
Doodling.
Yes. Oh my gosh. The 3D boxes. I used to draw that all the time.
Oh my goodness. That cool S.
Yeah, I could never get that down, but
neither could I.
Yeah.
I'm just not an artist.
No, no. My art teacher told me as much. But, I mean, you're giving them a distraction. Again, even a flip phone would be a distraction. You know how many times I saw someone's razor get taken from them and told they can find it in the principal's office after school that day? And that didn't have half the features these phones have.
Yeah. I just think it is the most obvious thing that you could possibly do. 803-0930 if you agree. And it could come right here to Western New York if they do, we're talking New York City. But if the governor does a statewide ban, well, you know, that would include here as well. 803-0930 if you have a thought on that, which is, it's really gained rapid momentum over the last couple of months. You know, that book came out and people started to pay attention and the conversation got going. And now you have more people saying, all right, it's like a lot of things, right? There was, you know, I'm reading this. All right. They lifted the citywide ban on phones in 2015 in schools. It's almost like, you know, back then they were like, well, you know, maybe we need to expand our mind a little bit of what education could look like in the new digital age, right? Yeah. You know, people are going to be using their phones or having a phone on them. Maybe we should allow them in school, and you'll have to deal with that distraction later in life. And it seemed like a good idea at the time, like so many other things, right? Seems like a good idea at the time. And now you're looking back and said, like, all right, well, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, actually, let's put the genie back in the bottle. In this case, I do believe it is possible to do that. But I mean, it's not that much different from, you know, what you see in Oregon and states like this, where they've gone, you know, all right, full decriminalization of all drugs. And now in the past few months, it's like, well, you know, look, it sounded like a great idea at the time.
Yeah.
We've seen how it's worked out. We need to tinker with this a little. Let's go back and come up with something new at the drawing board. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with admitting what we did 10 years ago was a mistake.
It is okay sometimes to walk it back. I know that's very unpopular, especially in the political world. But when we're talking about our kids, let's do what's best. And if it means saying, you know what, we were wrong. Yeah. Fine, then say you were wrong. And people will understand that. People will understand if you make the decision now. And again, I'm more upset with the parents who would be fighting this than I am with the administrators.
You need to rise above that, right? Because I don't think it would be most parents. I think it would be the most vocal parents.
Yeah.
But I would love to put that up to a poll. You know, they say that it's the parents who give the pushback. I really wonder about that. You know, is it a majority of parents? Is that really what a majority of parents want? Or is it just a vocal minority of parents who can't deal without it? Somebody on the text board saying teachers also have phones for emergency calls. It's not just on the wall. The teacher would have a phone.
Yeah, and to this, you know, this texter, it's pretty frustrating that you millennials want the government to ban things or take action that parents should take themselves or individual schools. By the way, I agree that parents should. They're not. Here's the thing. I'm not for the government to ban a ton of things. Believe me, I've been very vocal about that. But when we're talking about the future of the country, the future generation, yeah, you know what? If the parents are going to take the phones away from them when they're in a school building, well, someone should be the adult.
It's also a public service.
Yeah.
It's kind of a quasi-government entity,
yeah.
You know, in a way.
And by the way, I think you can be, you know, an average student and actually be very smart. I'm an example of that. I was being sarcastic. But, you know, you can be but to just completely blank out during class, if we can prevent that, we should. Like, you know, Brian, I wasn't the best student. I was not. I did let distractions get to me. This is something I can only imagine myself with a smartphone in the classroom. I mean, I probably wouldn't have even gotten into college. Because, I mean, I would assume my grades would have gone down another letter. And if enough classes went down another letter, Joe Beamer would not be on this mic right now.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. I can't even pretend to know what it's like. You know, I had a cell phone in school, but if you had your cell phone out in the class, they would take it away from you and throw it in a box somewhere, and maybe you'd get it at the end of the day, maybe you'd get it at the end of the year.
They would come to your desk with a trash can to spit out the gum and their hand out to take the phone.
Yeah. And that was that. Yep. So you didn't even risk it.
I mean, one class, the gum, the hat, and the phone all in the teacher's drawer.
But, you know, to that point of, like, there's been enough time here where, you know, oh, parents should take action themselves. Yeah, they should.
They're not.
But they're not.
Yeah.
And, the parents should take action themselves. Okay, let's start. Don't give a phone to, you know, a smartphone, should, you know, say, don't give a smartphone to your kid until they're at least, what, 17?
Yeah. They can have the ladybug phone before that.
There you go. Like, there. Let's start there.
Do they still make that, by the way?
Oh, they have different versions
of that. There was no screen or anything. It's like five buttons that you program with, you know, the parents' numbers and an emergency contact, and there you go. There's your emergency.
There's school districts who have given those phones to students.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same thing that you're talking about, but it's a phone that only has text and calling.
Okay, yeah.
A non-smartphone that, you know, looks the same as an iPhone, but it just has those two things that you can do. And everyone gets along just fine. Yeah. Like, schools do this. You can look at case studies, and they're doing just fine. It's right.
The kids are actually talking to each other.
It's not like this big, huge problem.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why we can do it and why, somebody mentioned Jack White concerts have locked phone bags. Yep. He's not the only one. I've been to a lot of those shows. They're great. They really improve the experience. They let you focus on what's going on the stage, and that parents at some of these events would do that. And then go right back and say, oh, no, we need the phone in school. It's like, hello, yeah. Did you learn nothing from, doing that before?
And I think some districts should just, you know, step up and not wait for the state. Do it yourselves. Like, we said this last week when we brought it up, Brian. For me, it's, you know, it's half the education, of course, but it's also like you're in school to build social skills, to build relationships. Having the phone take away from that, I think the kids are the ones losing at the end.
Someone on the text board, parents want to text their kids during the day about random nonsense, and yeah. It's distracting to their child and others. It doesn't even have to be random nonsense. Oh, pizza or, you know, whatever for dinner. Like, that's random nonsense, you yes. know, to be texting somebody during school. It doesn't have to be that. It's things as simple as, you know, hey, how was the test? Right, like
I'll tell you tonight.
Yeah, just like things like that. That the immediate checkup on, you know, what's going on in the day that you don't need. Yeah. Right, maybe it was a stressful test for, you know, Timmy, fifth grader, to take. He doesn't need his parents harping on him right after. You know, like give me a lunch period.
Exactly.
To digest this a little bit, clear my mind before I have to think about that again.
Talk with everyone else who took the test.
Instead, it's just like, boom, boom. How was the test? Well, they haven't graded it yet. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that's how it
works. It really does allow a helicopter parent to even be closer on that helicopter.
It's an NSA parent. I mean, they're like right on all this. It's wiretapping, basically.
You know what this, for some reason, this conversation made me think of back when I was in school? My mom had a little whiteboard in the kitchen. And it would say what was for dinner that night. I don't know why these talking about your parents texting you.
Well, it's a good idea.
It was made for the kitchen. Like, it blended in with the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would say, you know, the day, Wednesday. And my mom would write what she was making for dinner that night. And then, you know, all day you'd be looking forward. I don't live with my parents anymore. But I missed that board.
You could do that.
I could.
Every day you leave for work early.
Do you know when my wife and I decide what we're going to have for dinner? If we eat dinner at 7:30, at 7 we decided what we're making.
You eat at 7:30?
Well, sometimes we don't sleep until our son's asleep. Or, I'm sorry. First pitch thing.
Usually, you know, we let him roam around and take a nap, but sometimes.
There are nights where we don't eat until he's already asleep.
Oh.
And, I mean, by the time, you know, eventually we'll all eat together, but, you know, right now we don't. Except breakfast. On the weekends, we do have breakfast together.
Oh, dinner time is... But it's also the kids, too, because the kids need to eat at this time, too. So it's not just me. If I don't have dinner by 5 o'clock, and you can call me old as much as you want, I start to get cranky.
Really?
I need dinner by 5.
I have never in my life.
I'm up at quarter after three.
Yeah, that's why I wait till, as you know, if you look, I wait till 8 to have breakfast. And then 8, and now I'm on a regular eating schedule. But that's also my upbringing. I mean, my family didn't eat until Inside Edition was on. That we would eat, and we would watch Inside Edition in the kitchen.
But in our house, it's really, it's a, you know, if it's a democracy, it's me and the two kids. Like, we're both ready to eat. We're all ready to eat at 5.
Yeah.
And my wife would be the only one who's, and she, it would be like 6 if she had a say in it. Yeah. A little more of a normal dinner hour. But it's 3-1. Like, we got to eat something.
Yeah, my parents, we always ate late at the Beamer house, and I'm afraid I've brought that attitude into this Beamer house.
You got it. No, and you're, it's dinner time. You're sitting in this chair. Oh, you don't want dinner? I don't care. You're sitting in this chair, and you're eating. Oh, you asked to be excused? Okay. I guess you've sat for a little bit, but guess what? If you're hungry, you're eating what's on this plate right in this chair. When you come back, whenever that is.
Like Kramer says, it's dinner time. You know what you do at dinner? You talk about your day.
that's exactly what it is. Yesterday, I took my son to get a haircut with my normal barber leaving me. So now,
to hear that.
Joe, it's going to be rough. So one last time, and I brought my son with me, my oldest, who's, you know, 4.5. And I never thought I'd be this parent, Joe. Never thought I'd be this parent. Now, the night before, he said, "Nah, I don't want to get a haircut." It's like, okay, well, I'll ask you tomorrow. And he said, you know, came home yesterday. Yeah, I want to get a haircut. It's like, all right, you know, what kind of haircut? Just a normal haircut or like short or what do you want to do? He wanted a mohawk full just spikes, just big spikes on his mohawk. I never thought I would be the parent to say no to that.
Where did he see that?
No idea. I mean,
is he watching?
I probably have some
stuff?
Idea. He's probably like watching Rancid videos with Tim Armstrong's hair or something like that. But I never thought I'd say no. But I just said, you know what? I leave for work early. I'm not going to be the one Elmer's glue your hair into spikes every morning.
Yeah, no.
So why don't we compromise on something in a couple years? You still want the Liberty spikes? You can do them.
Yeah,
but
going into middle school, the spikes can.
Well, I was going to say elementary school.
Okay. Okay.
you do whatever you want. But for right now, when it's going to have to be me doing that, we'll just go with something normal. So we compromised on something. He had his hair spiked up. He thought he looked super cool. So that was. But I just never thought I'd be that parent, Joe. Said no to him. But I also never thought that the ask would come at 4.5.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all grow up. I never thought I'd be a parent. So... Here we are.
You'll be throwing the first pitch today.
First pitch. The game's at 1:05, which means the first pitch is somewhere between 12:30 and 1:05. So make sure you're in your seat. And hopefully I get it over the plate. That is the hope.
I hope you hit somebody.
I don't care if it's a strike. I don't care if it's high or if it's a little too low. But as long as it gets over the plate, I'll be happy.
Well, I hope you're happy. I also hope it hits somebody.
I'm happy they asked me. I'm happy they asked me. I guess I'm going into the situation already happy. I'm not happy at my insurance company, though. Please accept this document.
I'll be
Brian's,
there.
Brian, you're off.
I'm off the next couple of days, but I know that everyone will be listening in. I'll be there to watch you in a couple hours, Joe.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. I'll be back tomorrow, and then debate coverage tomorrow night with David Bellavia, myself, Jack O'Donnell, and Carl Calabrese. But stay tuned, because David's up next after Lucas here on WBEN.